bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we have been blessed already this morning through so many different ministries that have been up here and sitting there participating. I ask for your continued blessing through all of this. Amen. Now, I know it's getting a little later than we usually start the sermon, but I promise now that I have a two-year-old, I'm even more aware of how long a service can seem, and I won't go over. How many of you had a good Thanksgiving? Amen. You know, Thanksgiving is actually my favorite holiday over Christmas. Christmas, it feels like you're building and building and building, and it still feels like this. I still love the presents under the tree, and you get to open them, and then it's over. And Thanksgiving, while the meal is great, it seems to be more about the whole time with family, and when the meal's over, you still got leftovers, which is one of the best things about Thanksgiving. And so I just absolutely love Thanksgiving. And a family tradition that is also part of my husband's family, and I'm sure is a part of many of yours, is, of course, the dinner table. Everybody has to go around and say what they're thankful for. And I was at PUC with my husband's family this Thanksgiving, and I have to tell you that, I just want to tell you guys that you were on my list of things that I said I was thankful for. This church has been so supportive of me, of our family, after having Rue go around with us and do ministry with me all the time. And now that I'm doing this chaplaincy program, I've been very busy. And through it all, we have received nothing but love and support since the moment we got here. And I just want to let you all know how thankful I am to be a part of this church family, and that I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. It's just a wonderful church family to be a part of, and I'm so blessed to be a part of it. In the Bible, there is actually a holiday similar to Thanksgiving, and we don't necessarily realize it. The Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, which I don't like saying, so we're going to call it the Feast of Tabernacles because it's very hard to say booths. You can try saying it. It's not so easy, and it sometimes end up booths, and it's just worse. So we'll call it the Feast of Tabernacles, also sometimes called the Feast of Tents. There are a lot of holidays in the Bible, holy days, holidays, ways to celebrate God, and this is the one that is the most similar to Thanksgiving. Basically, the idea was they would move out of their homes, and they'd set up tents to commemorate when they didn't have homes, when the Israelites didn't have homes, and they'd come out of Egypt, and they lived in tents. And what's beautiful about it, there's a lot of beautiful symbolism in this celebration of this. They had moved from slavery to freedom, yet they had nothing and they lived in tents. And while they had nothing, God put his own tent, his own tabernacle among them. So this Feast of Tabernacles is about God dwelling among them and also placing his own protective tent, canopy, tabernacle over them. So it's about the freedom that God gives, God dwelling among them, and thanking God for their protection. They were to keep this holiday in thankfulness to God for all the increase of the year, but the emphasis was also that Israel's life rested in the redemption of God, the ultimate meaning in the forgiveness of sins. That was the ultimate meaning of this beautiful celebration. This fact, the focus on this redemption, is what separated their own holiday from the harvest festivals of all the neighboring nations, because having a harvest festival was a part of all the pagan kingdoms and areas around them. But their focus on redemption and God dwelling among them made it unique. I think that holidays in the Bible are just beautiful and that they have so much depth and meaning. But it wasn't always quite that perfect. And I find it really interesting to understand that. I'd like you to turn in your pew Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 1. And that is on page, hold on, I can tell you, 566. I don't have it on PowerPoint, so you're going to have to whip out that Bible, page 566 in your pew Bibles, Isaiah 1, if you have your own Bible. In this, Isaiah is prophesying for God about how God feels about how the Israelites had been celebrating the holidays towards him. Let's go to verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me, and I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the cause of the widow. Now, does this mean that God hates that we celebrate holidays? Is this what it's saying, that God hated the fact that the Israelites celebrated holidays? I don't think that's what it's saying. I think he's saying is that they've missed the boat. They're celebrating the holidays, but their focus is all wrong. I think that's an easy thing to translate into today. One way I'd like to help us translate that idea to today is I have a helper who's going to tell us a little bit about the very first Thanksgiving. Where's Zach? And I'm going to need to use this red mic here. Is that okay, Dennis? All right, Zach, could you tell us a little bit about the first Thanksgiving?
The English.
Hold on, I think it's on mute. Is that better? Test it? There we go.
The English colonists were called pilgrims. They celebrated the day of Thanksgiving as a part of their religion, but these were the days of prayer, not the days of feasting. Our national holiday really seems from the feast held in autumn of 1621 by the pilgrims and the Wampig Indians to celebrate the colony's first successful holidays.
All right, so it was about the Indians and the pilgrims coming together. Now tell me something, Zach. Did you know this before you read that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good to read and prepare in advance, but you knew all about why we celebrate Thanksgiving, right?
Because it's about getting together and celebrating and giving thanks to God.
Thank you so much, Zach. That's very helpful. You can go back to your seat. Our children have no doubt why we celebrate Thanksgiving. We teach them this in school. And I think that that's absolutely wonderful. When we celebrate Thanksgiving, how many of you spent an hour eating for Thanksgiving? Hands. How many of you spent more than an hour eating? How many of you spent more than 5 plus to 10 to 20 hours preparing food? Now, I have to say, that's actually really fun to an extent. I had a blast this Thanksgiving. My sister-in-law is an amazing gourmet chef, and we're just in awe of her cooking skills. But she found a new recipe for cranberry sauce, and I never made. I have to admit, I love that jarred stuff that comes out looking just like the canned stuff. Love that cranberry sauce. But this year, we thought, we found this recipe, we'll be daring, and we'll make homemade cranberry sauce. Oh my goodness, it was amazing. We were actually really mad because my husband's whole family held said they don't like cranberry sauce. We were welcome to do what we wanted in the kitchen because we're at, Adam's parents' house, but they weren't really into it. And then they ate all our cranberry sauce after we made it. We were kind of mad. It was really good. And I get a lot of joy out of cooking. And then we all said what we're thankful for around the table. And that took 10 to 20 minutes. Spent time making pies, cranberry sauce, my veggie meatballs, if that makes sense. I spent a lot of time with that, and about 20 minutes saying what I'm thankful for. The emphasis can be all wrong. Is it wrong to cook and celebrate? No, of course not. But where's the emphasis? I want to move to the next holiday coming up. This is kind of a fun in-between week. We've just had Thanksgiving, but we get to move to Christmas, and I love the Christmas season. My birthday falls in the Christmas season, so as I was joking with the youth this morning, I always kind of felt the whole season's about me. And I don't mean that, of course, but it makes me just love the whole season even more. As a kid growing up, I got to kind of celebrate twice, and it just made me love Christmas. And I love seeing some of you dressed for Christmas, Maya and Mina, and their beautiful Christmas dresses, and I've seen a number of people dressing for Christmas already, and I just think that's wonderful. We're hoping to get our tree tomorrow and get the house decorated and have the first time a two-year-old who will actually appreciate having decorations and lights and who will have a lot of fun with it, and I think it's going to be really fun. Christmas was started in the 4th century as a day. You know, the church leaders got together and said, we need a day to celebrate the birth of Christ, and they chose this day, and that's wonderful. And the gifts were supposed to be a part of the recognition of the gifts of the Magi to Christ. Makes sense, right? How many of you have already spent more than an hour thinking and working on Christmas presents this year? Oh, come on, really? You haven't even thought about it? That's a little more realistic. How many of you went shopping yesterday on Black Friday? There we go. Get some good deals? The presents can be a lot of fun, but we tend to spend a lot of time on that. Every year, it's a struggle between my family and Adam's family because they tend to get us their Christmas lists about a week in advance, and then I'm stressing and going out and buying gifts, and every year I swear I'm going to make Adam buy his own family gifts, and I always give in. Always happens. But we spend a lot of time on that. I've already made Christmas plans. How many of you know what you're doing for Christmas dinner already? Know where you're going to go? We plan this stuff well in advance. We think about this. We buy our traveling tickets. I hear the airlines are going to be a mess this year. It's just, you know, for a change. We spend a lot of time planning our gifts and our Christmas. And of course, we include Christ's birth in that. But time-wise, where is your emphasis? Now, I need to be clear that I'm preaching to myself right now. As I mentioned a moment ago, I'm doing this chaplaincy program through Loma Linda, and that requires 30-plus hours a week at the hospital. And I'm still working here, and my son just turned 2, and he is as active can be. He didn't quite make it through the service yet. So having time with God, quality time with God, I have to tell you is something I've really struggled with lately. You know, I get woken up in the morning by my 2-year-old, and I don't set an alarm because he has plenty alarm for me, and the day just starts at full speed and goes from there. How many of you can identify with that? Time with God. Yet, I do find the time to shop for presents, to call the family, to make the travel plans, to make the dinners. Are those bad things? Of course not. But where is my emphasis? I am not that into poetry. I just don't really get it sometimes. It's just not my thing. It just doesn't sync with me. But I do have a favorite poet who I think really, really hits the nail on the head a number of times. His name is Dr. Seuss. And you can argue with me if you want, but I think he writes poetry. I absolutely love a lot of what Dr. Seuss has to say. And this last weekend, I had the chance to watch the original How the Grinch Stole Christmas while I was packing up. And I got to watch the very end of it. And just to summarize, if it's been a little while for some of you, the Grinch hates Christmas. But there's this town near where he lives of the Whos, and they love Christmas, and they do it all up with gifts and presents and food and everything that we think of with Christmas. And he hates it so much that he dresses as Santa, and he goes in and he steals Christmas from them the night before, so that when they wake up, their Christmas is gone, or so he thinks. So he takes all the presents up on the mountain, he's going to shove all the presents and all the food over, and he can't wait to hear their crying when they wake up. And I think I have the pages here to read to you better than I can. Oh my goodness, I'm sure I can't read that from here. I'm going to walk over here. So he takes the gifts up, and it says, 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. Poo-poo on the who, he was grinchously humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, the sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so. But it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And I think that's the last page, isn't it, that I gave you? Yeah. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I'm an Adventist. Advent, Christ coming. Am I even a who if I woke up Christmas morning and everything was gone? Would I still sing? Would I still sing praises to God? Do I have my emphasis right? We have so much to be thankful for in our lives. We are all sitting here safe in this church. We're not worried about being killed. We have food to eat. We have church family members who care about us. What's your emphasis this Christmas? We need to spend quality time with God. If we don't know God, we can't celebrate God. Like I said, I'm preaching to myself. I've been feeling that distance from God because I haven't taken the time. And you know what? It's not God who moved. God's right there with me the whole time, every minute, just saying, Jana, I just want a little time with you. Can you find a little time? You've got time for everybody else. What about me? And I feel it that I haven't found that time. But when I think about how to celebrate, what does God want from us in our celebrations? I want to turn back to Isaiah. God tells us what he wants us to do. In verse 16, Isaiah chapter 1, it says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil from your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the cause of the widow. I want to go on because it's so beautiful, and I know this is a familiar passage for many of you. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good food of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Isaiah tells us what God wants from us. God wants to be celebrated in our lives, in our daily lives, by bringing justice and peace and love to those around us. That's the emphasis. How are you doing that in your daily life? How do you bring peace? How do you bring justice? Do you correct oppression? Is that your focus this holiday season? Isaiah is a beautiful book, too. The whole book, one of the focuses of it, is about the restoration of worship being inclusive for everyone. Later on in Isaiah, I'm running out of time, so I won't have you turn there, it talks about everybody being included in worship. The temple used to be an exclusive thing, and it says now, as long as people want to come worship God, they are welcome to worship God. It's about being inclusive. How are you being inclusive? Who are you including in your holiday feast, in your holiday celebrations that you may not have included before? Who needs you to include them in your life? Isaiah is also beautifully one of the main messianic books that talks about the coming of Christ, that inclusiveness, that celebration of God. Holidays are absolutely for celebrating. I do want you to turn in your Bibles, page, was it 500? This morning was our scripture. Page 500, Psalm 100. It tells us a little bit about celebrating God. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. It's about celebration. Know that the Lord, he is God, he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. Are we supposed to celebrate God? Absolutely. But where is your emphasis? Are we celebrating God, or are we just celebrating each other and the season? How are you bringing God into this season every moment of every day so that he is the focus? How are you doing that? I want to ask for a moment of silence, and then I'll have prayer for you to think about that. Where has your emphasis gone wrong? If this is the first time you've had a chance to think about including God in the season, I want you to think about how you can do that. Some of you are new to the idea of Christianity and of the holiday being about more than just gift giving. Some of you have thought about it many times, but it's gotten stuck in the routine and have kind of pushed God out. And many of us are kind of a mixture of both. We try to include God, but he gets shoved back pretty often. So I want to take just a minute to be quiet, to think for yourselves, how can you be the peace, the season that God wants you to be, and bring God into every part of what you're doing? Let's have a moment of prayer. Lord, you know how busy we all are. Somehow we find time for everyone but you. And from my heart, I will say that I miss you. I miss the time that I was able to spend with you before life got so crazy. But life isn't slowing down, and we need you. I need you in my life more than I know, more than you know. Lord, live through us. Help us to find that emphasis, to keep it on you, to know that if all the presents and all the wrappings and all the food were to disappear, that we'd still have you, and that is enough reason to praise. Amen.